SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
All right, let's talk some NFL with Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Used to talk to Josh on a different network, no longer in business. So good to talk to him here, SportsMap Radio. Josh, maybe we say this every year. I don't know. It just seems like this year, more than ever, it's hard to get a handle on who's good week to week, who's a legitimate Super Bowl candidate, who's not. I mean, have you ever seen it this? I mean, we got 12 AFC teams separated by 2.5 games. We got 7 wild card candidates separated by 1 game in the AFC, and the NFC 5 separated by a half game. Is this more than we normally see in a typical year?
It does feel a little bit more, and I think some of that has to do with the way the schedule's set up. If you look at those AFC teams, they're all playing each other in the coming weeks. It's going to be really fun to see how it all stacks out because you have so many coming in at kind of the same level, and then you have games like the Patriots and Titans this week that feel like they're starting to set up as sort of eliminators, and you're going to start to really get a sense, and the teams have spent all this time putting themselves together, dealing with injuries, reinventing themselves, and now, you know, now's the time where you see how it all works out. And, you know, for a team that's been coming on late, like the Patriots, it seems to be setting up really well for them because they did that soul-searching in the early part of the season, and now teams like Buffalo and Tennessee have to do some of it on their own.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the AFC, and look, I'll give the Titans a pat. I mean, stunning what happened to them yesterday. They still have the best record. But the Patriots and the Chiefs, the way those teams are playing right now, look, we had them, what, a couple years in a row where they were playing for the AFC Championship game to be a different quarterback in New England, but I guess we could see that happening again. And I don't think we could have expected that just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it certainly didn't look like that. That was the way things were setting up in the AFC. And I think we still have – there's still so many – twists to come. I think looking at it now, it would, you know, normally it feels like you get to Thanksgiving and it's like, all right, we're in the real late push, but this extra game, this extra week of the season, it stretches still 2 months from, you know, about 2 months from where we are now, 7 games for a lot of teams, you know, that have had their byes already. That's a lot of football still to play. So it still feels like there's going to be more shaping up to do, and it's going to be much closer to Christmas where I feel like we have a real firm handle on who the team to beat in the AFC are. Teams to beat in the AFC are.
A fluid situation. And let me ask you about the team with the best record in the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals win twice now with Colt McCoy, and – you know, remember when they hired Cliff Kingsbury, which was a controversial choice, and it was all because of his, you know, offensive acumen, and they go out and get Kyler Murray, and that's both those decisions have worked out well, but it's really their defense that has been, you know, what has gotten them to this point. And do you think they legitimately could be the best team in the NFL right now?
I think they keep answering the questions that are asked of them. To go 2-1 without Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, they lost Chase Edmonds in here, the top running back, and they just didn't miss a beat. And that goes to tell you how deep they lost J.J. Watt. They you know, they've suffered some big losses, and they haven't taken a step backward. And you see a team that doesn't flinch in the face of anything that it faces, and especially a team that, I guess because of Kingsbury's background and Kyler Murray, and it was so offensive slanted that you wouldn't see them as being this kind of hard-nosed team that can do what, you know, dismantle the Seahawks the way we saw yesterday. And they are, and they keep showing that they are. So at some point you have to believe that's what they are. So that's where I am. I think they absolutely can be the last team standing in the NFC.
Yeah, and right now the one seed, and remember, obviously things have changed. One team gets a bye. And obviously that team gets home the bye and then just has to play 2 home games. How, you know, we're not used to seeing that. How big a deal you think it might be to be that one team in each conference that gets the one seed this year?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it feels so big. Like, you know, we were looking at Buffalo as that team in the AFC, and now, you know, now looking at them all the way down to win 3 games on the road the way the Buccaneers did last year. Gosh, that's a lot to ask of any team, and it's going to be tough to overcome, and especially if teams have to avoid going to places like Buffalo and Green Bay, I think, you know, the home field advantage maybe gets watered down a little bit if you're playing in a place like Arizona that doesn't have that same kind of history. But God, yeah, I mean, I think it's so big now. I think the bye is even bigger than it could have been in the past, because the prospect of winning three road games, unless you're the very best team in the conference, is, you know, can be a very daunting one. Obviously, you know, some other teams will have one home game, but then, you know, it's a lot to ask.
Sports Map Radio with Josh Alper from Sports Map Radio, from Pro Football Talk, PFT.com. I looked it up, Josh. Last time a non-quarterback won the MVP, Adrian Peterson in 2012. Before that, LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. With maybe no quarterback grabbing that, is Jonathan Taylor emerging now as maybe a favorite to win the MVP?
Well, I think he's starting to look like a guy who's going to have to be in the conversation. And the Colts are rising. If the Colts keep winning and he keeps doing what he's doing, I mean, we talked about Derrick Henry as a contender for the award last year, and Taylor's putting together that kind of a season. You know, 15 touchdowns now after yesterday. He's going to lead the league in rushing unless he stops playing for injury, which would be a huge shame. And yeah, as you said, you know, I think it goes to the same, you know, sort of upheaval, topsy turviness of the whole league. You know, there isn't that quarterback that stood out. Kyler Murray's missed games. Aaron Rodgers has missed games. You know, the Bills are reeling. The Titans haven't stepped forward. All of these teams that you would expect to be the players anyway that you would expect to be in the mix haven't had that huge separation. But again, I think the next few weeks they're going to really color that in, and I still think it'll wind up being a quarterback at the end of the day.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Derrick Henry, and I was talking about this before. Derrick Henry obviously was great at Alabama, won a Heisman. Jonathan Taylor was, you know, historically great in Wisconsin. I mean, one of the top rushers in NCAA history. And yet both were second-round draft picks, and both now have such impacts on their team. Do teams need to change this narrative that's come out in recent years that don't take a running back in the first round, you can find another guy, you can always find a running back, short shelf life, all that? Should be, we know it's a copycat league, and they all kind of jumped on that narrative. Should teams be maybe reconsidering that?
I don't know. I mean, I think the counter to that is Saquon Barkley's missed the last four games.
Yes,
Christian
point.
McCaffrey's missed a ton of time the last 2 years. And it's not like a second round pick is some throwaway thing. I think that's more of where you have to look at it, that there's just clearly a scarcity of players at other positions. There are more running backs that can succeed in the NFL than there are quarterbacks, than there are cornerbacks, than there are edge rushers. And that's how you have to approach something like a draft. You can't, it's not so simple as is this guy a better player? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But when you look at a Saquon Barkley going second overall, it's very hard to say that he's given the Giants anything close to the value you want to get from a player taken at that level. And he's not a bad player, but it's just the facts of it. You know, Derrick Henry's injury this year. You know, Jonathan Taylor's in his second year. Let's see how these things go. But the story of running backs isn't one of, you know, you get guys like Adrian Peterson and this last run that Henry was on before this injury, and it's unusual to see that from running backs in the current NFL.
That's a good point. All right, we talked about some good teams. Let me ask you about Seattle. We're just so not used to seeing this. They can't win at home. They can't score. Are we seeing the end of maybe both Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson in Seattle?
I think more likely Russell Wilson at this point. I think, you know, the Seahawks, since Paul Allen has died, the ownership in Seattle has been very hands-off. And so I don't feel this sense that Pete Carroll is on the hot seat that I think he would be with a lot of other teams at this point. And look, Russell Wilson's agent didn't announce four teams he wanted to be traded to, he would be willing to be traded to, because Russell Wilson isn't thinking about leaving. It always felt like this was going to be a last year, and maybe something happened to push the relationship forward and something positive and some positive change. But this felt like a patchwork of the offseason, a new offensive coordinator. Obviously, Wilson's injury has hurt things, and it sort of feels like, it does feel like the end of an era in Seattle. you watch that game last night, that's the kind of game they pulled out so many times, and they just never came up with a punch. They just didn't have anything going. And you know, these things end, and I think Russell Wilson will be in heavy demand this offseason. But I do think this is it for him.
Interesting. Now, in a few days, Josh, America will, before they slice up the turkey, will gather around the set to watch Bears-Lions because it's on. There's nothing you can do about it. Bears are another team, I would think. I mean, is Matt Nagy going to be in some trouble there? They've lost five in a row now.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. You know, there have been some encouraging. Yesterday was a bad day. Really, all six teams that are playing on Thanksgiving were terrible yesterday. So that's not the best way to set the stage for Thursday. But, you know, it felt like Justin Fields' progress is something that I think will determine whether Nagy's back. If come the end of the season, wherever the Bears are in the standings, if Justin Fields is showing the signs of being that kind of dynamic quarterback, we've seen flashes of it. And if you can see that consistency, I could see the Bears sticking with what's there in order to, you know, build on that and build that continuity. But, you know, at a certain point, you have to wonder if Nagy's really the guy to take him to the next level, even if that's a short-term positive, because, you know, frankly, the history isn't good in Chicago in terms of him developing that kind of offense and developing that kind of player. So I think that the weeks to come will determine it. I think his job security has got to be a question, given the way everything has played out over his entire tenure, though.
That's a good point, Josh. I didn't realize that all six teams playing Thursday. We're 0-6. Oh, well, it's Thanksgiving. You're still going to watch football, right? What are you going to do? Hey, Josh, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Be well.
Josh Alper from Pro Football Talk. Yeah, so we mentioned the triple header on Thursday. Before you get to the sweet potatoes. Bears-Lions, we've seen this one before on Thanksgiving, and it's usually bad. And I mean, 3-7 versus 0-9-1. 3-7 with five straight losses, and Justin Fields got hurt, so it might be Andy Dalton, and it's definitely not going to be Jared Goff. They already said that. So Tim Boyle from Xavier High School in Middletown, Connecticut, I think a friend who played football for Xavier, he was a barefooted kicker. not Tim Boyle, the friend of mine. Anyway, that's your first game. Raiders, Cowboys, you know, a little bit better. Raiders, even with the three straight losses, are still in it for a wild card, but they've been through so much this year with Gruden and Henry Ruggs, and you would expect the Cowboys, I'm not shocked that they lost in Kansas City. I was shocked that they only had three field goals. That offense... And it just last week against Atlanta, that offense had it going in full gear, and yet 9 points yesterday, and they've now lost two of the last three. And, you know, the Denver game, they're down 30-0. So we'll see. Expect the Cowboys to get a win. And then the Thursday night game is a little better because you don't know what you're getting from Buffalo. They've lost three of the last five. You know, inexplicable loss to Jacksonville. The loss yesterday, while certainly an upset, you know, what the big surprise was how one-sided that game was, losing 41-15. And so now Buffalo goes into New Orleans, a team that's struggling now without Jameis Winston. And, you know, I don't know, Taysom Hill, what happened to him? They gave him that big contract. And I thought the presumption was that he could be the replacement to Drew Brees, and yet he loses out to Winston, and then Winston gets hurt, and they're still not using him. They're using Trevor Siemian. So six teams playing on Thanksgiving. Those six teams yesterday went 0-6. We're coming back. Got a little to do, and then another hour ahead here on Sports Map Radio. Stay with us.